Today on Bold Steps, Pastor Mark Jobe presents what he calls straight talk about singleness, sex, and marriage.
Are we going to be shocked about it? Are we going to say, wait a second, it may be society, but it's not the way it will be within the confines of Christianity or in the community of faith?
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, Mark, our current culture has some strange and conflicting views on love, sex, and marriage. How can we be in this world but set apart in our attitudes?
Yeah, Wayne, this is a huge topic.
Sure is.
Huge topic. And I think you don't see the contrast almost in any other area as much as you see it when it comes to sexuality. And so this series is going to be great because we're diving right into what the Bible has to say about God's perspective on sexuality.
Well, the church has certainly been affected and has adopted some of the world's attitudes about sex and singleness.
You're right, Wayne. I pastored in the city of Chicago for a long time, and some of the congregations that I've led had been in really heavy single areas, 20-some-year-olds. And I am always amazed at how enculturated even our Christian dating scene is with sort of the worldly perspective on sexuality. And so this will be eye-opening. I think that I always tell people this. Sometimes we have two extremes. We've adopted the values of the world completely, or sometimes all we hear in the church is no, 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 don't, bad, bad, bad. God has a lot to say about sexuality, and it's good if it's done God's way.
We need God's word, so let's listen to it now. This message is called Living for God in an X-Rated Society, and it's from our new series, Straight Talk, on singleness, sex, and marriage. Here's Mark Jobe.
I heard recently that some children were interviewed about their opinions on love and marriage. Kids always have an interesting perspective, don't they? And Judy, 8-year-old Judy, was asked, what is the proper age to get married? Judy thought for a second, then said 84. Because at that age, you don't have work anymore, and you can spend all your time loving each other in your bedroom, is what she said. 10-year-old Jim was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? Jim thought for a second and said, you should never kiss a girl unless you have enough bucks to buy her a ring and her own VCR. Because she'll want to have videos of the wedding. And then 8-year-old Roger was asked, how can people make love last? He gave some good advice. He said, don't forget your wife's name. That will mess up the love. And that would do it if you forgot your wife's name. Well, this morning, as we take a candid, upfront look and start talking about singleness, sex, and marriage, I'm excited about this because I believe every single person in this auditorium is touched by some of these principles. And I'm excited about it because I think we have some really wacky ideas about this topic that sometimes are very, very far from God's plan, God's design, and what God has to teach us. Now, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote two letters to a place called Corinth. He wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. About 2 years ago, I had the opportunity of visiting the ruins of ancient Corinth that are found currently in the country of Greece. And study the history a little bit and look a little bit. It was exciting to walk where Paul had walked and see some of the now ruins, but some of the places that Paul had seen. And what excites me about the Corinthians is that I think the society and culture in which the Corinthians lived is very similar to the society and culture in which we live today. You see, Corinth was a cosmopolitan, prosperous, advanced, progressive city. It was a city of diversity. In fact, the Greeks, the Latins, the Syrians, the Asiatics, the Egyptians, and the Jews bought and sold, labored and reveled, quarreled and hobnobbed in the city ports. It was a port city, so it had individuals from all nationalities coming in. And it was a city that was very prosperous, a lot of merchants right there in a key location. Old Corinth had been a byword for when you wanted to call someone a party animal, you'd call them a Corinthian. In fact, the Greek verb to Corinthize, to behave as they do in Corinth, was used to describe people that were sexually promiscuous. In fact, in the old city, there was the famous temple of Epaphrodite. Catch this. Epaphrodite had a temple on the highest point of elevation on the city, and there was 1,000 temple prostitutes that served the sailors as they drove into that city. So their view of religion and worship was that these temple prostitutes would serve whoever went to the temple to worship. So therefore, it was a popular place for sailors. The city was promiscuous. In fact, everybody in those days knew what a Corinthian girl meant. Aelian, the late Greek writer, tells us that ever if a Corinthian was shown upon stage in a Greek play, he was always shown as a drunk. For all its reputation, though, Corinth was a progressive, cosmopolitan city that had a culture of its own, and lopped right in the middle of this culture was an emerging church, a community of faith that was trying to live out God's biblical designs in a culture that was far from God's originally intention and values. And so I love the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians because I think we can relate a lot to them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, between verse chapter 5 and chapter 7, Paul talks a lot about this whole area of sexuality. And today we're going to talk about living for God in an X-rated society. I want to begin reading in verse 1, it says, of chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind that does not even occur among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Let me pause for a second and tell you the first observation of the danger of living in a sex-saturated society. Number one is we can easily become enculturated with wrong attitudes towards sexuality. The Corinthian believers were plopped in the middle of a society that was full of promiscuity, people sleeping with each other, viewing worship mixed up with sexuality, sailors coming in and out, all kinds of different ideas, a booming industry in this area. And so they were struggling to really understand what it meant to be Christian in this kind of society. And the Apostle Paul deals head on with some of the issues that they were dealing with in the church. In fact, he tells us, he brings an issue to light, and he says, I have heard through the rumor mill, or it's reported, that there is some sexual practices that are happening not outside the church, but there are some sexual practices that are happening right inside the church. Because how many of you know that whatever happens outside the church, it's real easy for it to just seep into the church? And instead of the church influencing the culture around us, oftentimes it's the culture around us that influences the church. I mean, it's natural. There are a lot of individuals here that just a year ago, you would never have thought that you would have been caught dead on a Sunday morning sitting through a worship service. I mean, it was the farthest thing from your mind. But here you are now on a Sunday morning sitting in a worship service, worshiping God, Bible open, and you would have thought, wow, never in my wildest dreams. And there's a lot of you that are new to Christianity, and so a lot of the cultural stuff that you picked up over 30 years of living outside of Christianity, oftentimes we drag it right inside the church because we don't know any better. We're just learning, we're being taught, we're trying to understand God's principles. And the Apostle Paul says, well, there's something that's happening among you, and there's an immorality of the kind that even doesn't occur among the pagans. The word pagan here really refers to Gentiles, those that are non-Christians. He says, a man has his father's wife. Now, more than likely, this was not his biological mother, but there was a guy in the church that was actually having sexual relationships with his stepmother. Where the father was, I don't know. But he says the man has his father's wife, which means that this has the connotation of some sort of permanent type of union among them. It seems to be that they had moved in together and were sexually involved together. So this stepson is having sexual relationships with his stepmother. And the more shocking thing of this is not that it was happening, but what catches Paul by surprise is the attitude that the community of faith has towards this practice. Listen, he says in verse 2, he says, you and you are proud. The word proud here is also used as puffed up or arrogant. Now, what were they proud about? What were they arrogant about? Well, it seems to be that their pride and their arrogance was a spiritual pride and arrogance. And it was this sort of mentality. Look at what's happening here. And we are so progressive. We are so accepting. We are so non-judgmental that, look, even this couple, he's sleeping with his stepmother, and we allow him to come to church, and it's no problem. They had this spiritual pride and arrogance that was causing them to just not do anything about it, not confront it, and pride themselves in being progressive, open-minded, non-judgmental in allowing this to happen among them. What had happened to the Corinthians? What had happened to the Corinthians is they had embraced the values around them to such a degree. What was valued there? Diversity, acceptance, tolerance, sexual practices. That was what was in vogue in their society. So therefore, what was in vogue in their society, they had brought it into the church. And Paul is saying, wait a second, you are not the society. You are the church of the living God. Your values are different. Your morality is different. He says, in fact, instead of being proud, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief? The same word that's used in grief here is what's often used at funeral times, mourning for someone that's dead. You see, what had happened to these people, it's what happens to us. They had been exposed to so much immorality, so much living together, so much sexual stuff that they had literally become immune to it. How many of you know that if you get exposed to something a lot over and over, it loses its shock value on you? That you start growing accustomed to it. And first of all, you're shocked. How could that happen? But if you hear it enough and see it enough and watch it enough and are around it enough, after a while, you're not shocked by it. After a while, you start thinking it's normal. And if you're not careful, you become accepting of it and tolerant of it. And it becomes sort of natural.
You're listening to Bold Steps with our Bible teacher, Mark Jobe. And we will continue this important message in just a moment. Let me remind you that all of these daily messages can be found on our website at boldstepsradio.org. There you'll find several faith-building resources and opportunities. Mark, listeners can even share their testimony or Bible questions with you.
You know, we love getting letters, phone calls, emails from our listeners, and I would encourage you, this entire team is encouraged when you reach out and tell us what God is doing in your life.
Amen, yeah.
Some of those testimonies will make it on the air. And if you have questions, some of those questions also will make it on the air. So please reach out and let us know what's on your heart.
And as we've been saying the last few weeks, Mark, we have a new way for listeners to contact us. You can call in your message to us and leave a voicemail there at 312-329-2011, 312-329-2011. I do have a question from a listener named Dinah. She wrote in to ask you this: how do you reconcile dying to self with John 10:10, where Jesus talks about having life abundant to the full?
You know, Dinah, that's a good question. And it seems a bit like a paradox. And let me just read John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And so Jesus is speaking about what the enemy does. He comes to destroy, but God comes to give us life abundantly. And so, Dinah, you're asking, how does that flow with dying to ourselves? It seems like a paradox, but Jesus is full of paradoxical comments. He also says, in line with that, if anyone loves their life, they'll lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's in John 12:25. What Jesus is really saying is that abundant life doesn't come by living for ourselves and pursuing the desires of our flesh. Abundant life comes when we die to ourselves and are resurrected to Jesus. It's the life of God in us that gives us abundance. So there's both a self-denial and dying to the flesh, but there's also a being resurrected to Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." So the beauty of this is the more you die to yourself, the more you're resurrected to Jesus, the more abundant life you will have. So it seems contradictory, but it's not. Death to the self, old self, alive to Jesus equals abundant life.
I love that answer. Thank you, Mark. We'll get back to your message in just a moment, but if you are listening today and you'd like to play a part in this global ministry outreach, we're thrilled to invite you to be part of this team by signing up to give on a monthly basis as a Bold partner. If you choose to give a gift of $30 or more each month, you will qualify for a 50% discount on all Moody Publishers resources, along with other exclusive content from Mark. So don't wait about this. Sign up today to become a Bold partner. Visit boldstepsradio.org. Now back to our message about living for God in an X-rated society.
I mean, think about it. Some of you work with coworkers who just have really foul mouths. And you're around it so much, all the time, that after a while it just doesn't even faze you. I mean, they're blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that, and you this, and you that, and him that, and this that. And after a while it doesn't affect you, really. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't, it just kind of goes in one ear, out the other. It becomes so normal to you. But if you're not careful, you hear it so much, you're around it so much, that if you're not careful, it may seep into some of your vocabulary and you find yourself, uh-oh, I just said what he always says. And so these people had been around it so much, they had been enculturated. And if you don't think that we live in a society that's X-rated, check out these stats a little bit. I call it the mainstreaming of pornography. At one time, pornography was an industry that was just isolated to the little shanty bookstores found in the seedy neighborhoods that people would drive their car and look around, walk in, and go behind the tinted windows to do their thing. But that little seedy pornographic adult bookshop has now become available to the click of anyone, any 11-year-old on the computer, on the internet, clicking sites. The most graphic, violent pornography is now at the hand tips of your 10-year-old. And we are now living in a society like never before where technology has allowed us to tap into the darkest parts of our society like never before. I mean, there's a lot of money behind this. And who are the people that are most likely to go to these websites? Teenagers. Imagine this, we are raising a generation of young people that is being exposed to more graphic sexuality than any generation previous to us. We are only yet to see what will be the effects of that as these young men become adults when they're 25 and 30 year olds, people that have been exposed to more graphic, violent sexuality than any other generation that has come before us. Folks, we are living in some pretty perilous times. I mean, it's all around us. Not too long ago, I was driving off of Harlem onto Archer Avenue, and I saw a billboard that made me cringe. When I got to the office, I said, we need to call the alderman right away and let him know, what is a billboard like that doing in our neighborhood? The billboard was trying to be a fancy advertisement for a couple sitcoms. The sitcom's Friends and the sitcom Sex in the City. So the billboard said this, have sex with friends. A family from our church that lives not too far away from the billboard walked by, and the 9-year-old daughter said, Mom, what does have sex with friends mean? It's ludicrous that our children should be having to ask those questions because advertisers are blatantly, flagrantly throwing their stuff in our communities. But that is the kind of neighborhood that we live in. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there would have been protests over a billboard like that, but we have become immune to a large degree to the kind of sexual explicitness that's all around us. And Paul was living in that kind of society as well. The Corinthians were experiencing the same kind of things. And so Paul says, hey, you need to get shocked again. You need to get a morality that surprises you again.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, the first part of a message titled Living for God in an X-Rated Society. It comes from our new series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. And as you heard Mark speak today, maybe you've been thinking about a son or a daughter who needs to hear this program. Perhaps your husband or wife. Feel free to share this link for this program, and you'll find it available on our website, boldstepsradio.org. Mark?
You know, so great to have in our studio once again, Dr. Thrasher, Dr. Bill Thrasher. He's been a professor here at Moody for 44 years.
Amazing,
that's
huh?
A long time. Mm. And just a real beloved professor on campus, teaches on a lot of topics, including the topic of prayer. And he's written a book called How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. And so, Dr. Thrasher, so good to have you here. I have a question for you. There's a lot of Christians that express a desire for a better prayer life, and their confusion is really how to get started. So many people are looking for some simple fix or a secret method or... But, Bill, you've written a book on what it actually takes to resurrect a dead prayer life.
And you know, I think the starting point, and I personalize this because it's very unflattering, but if I think a person comes to God and they confess, Lord, in and of myself, I don't really care about anybody but me. That's very unflattering, but that is true of our flesh.
Yeah.
And yet God is not pleased with that. He says, these people honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. There's Isaiah the prophet, there's no one who arouses himself to take hold of God. So he has better for it. And so what he does is we come to him in our need, but there's incredible promises to the needy. I like that prayer in Psalm 72, save or deliver the children of the needy. I always felt like my children qualified. he sets Psalm 107, he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction. The upright see it and are glad, and all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Jeremiah says, it does not lie within us to direct our path. I'm a sheep. I'm not supposed to be smart enough to guide my life, although I need guidance. If you want to be wise, you got to be foolish. So when we see as our need, as Corrie ten Boom to say, don't treat prayer as your spare tire. In a case of emergency, you need it, but no, it's your engine. And so God wants to help us. He can develop fervency in our prayer life if we look to the Spirit to motivate, guide, and empower our prayer life. And that's what the book is about.
I love that. So if you've been struggling this year or recently to say, I really need a fresh awakening in my prayer life, I think that this is divine. These words right here that you're hearing over this station, I think God is speaking to your heart. It's time to resurrect that dead prayer life.
So take that first simple step and request your copy of this Bold Step gift. We'll send it to you right away when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. You can do that by giving us a call at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. or give online at boldstepsradio.org. And of course, you can also send your gift and request the book through the mail. Address your envelope and letter to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And did you know that you don't have to be near a radio or a computer to hear Bold Steps? By subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast on your mobile device, you can easily take these messages with you wherever you go and listen while you're out for a walk or running errands out in nature. Just search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe on your podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's our time for today. Join us tomorrow when we'll take a look at part two of this message called Living for God in an X-Rated Society. It's coming up Thursday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.